Hello and welcome to Medical Centered. This is ECU Health Medical Center's new weekly podcast for team members. I'm Brian Floyd, the Chief Operating Officer of ECU Health and President of the Medical Center. Every week, I will talk with team members to learn about the incredible work and the care that happens across our campus. We will hear from team members from all different areas and departments, and they'll tell their story. At the end of each episode, I'll share shout-outs and moments of gratitude from your peers. This week, we're talking with Jacob Parrish. He's the Vice President of Capacity and Throughput for our system, and Chris Starbuck, who's the Manager of the Regional Emergency Preparedness Response Team. Hey, thank you both for being with me today to share your story.
Thank you, Brian.
Sure, Brian. Thanks.
Emergency preparedness and response. This team is really focused on preparing for and responding to disasters, natural disasters, or other events that can happen here in Eastern North Carolina. Their response is really important to our mission. We've invested a lot of resources and gathered expertise in this area so that we can ensure we're able to meet the needs of the communities no matter what those circumstances are. It is really so important that our team members understand just what an investment we've made and why that matters to us fulfilling our mission. And so, Jacob, I'm going to start with you. Tell us a little bit about this team and what it does.
Sure, Brian, and thanks again for the opportunity to share the story. I think many of our team members are aware of our traditional approach to emergency management within our hospitals or within our clinics. Whether it's a hurricane or a capacity issue, people tend to know how we respond. What most team members probably are not aware of is our actual more broad approach to emergency preparedness across the region, and that's working with Chris and his team. That is the team where their phone rings. It could be a natural disaster. It could be air handler or a chiller going out in a nursing home. It could be a fire in the eastern part of our region. It could be anything. And this team is skilled with a variety of skill sets and a variety of tools and equipment to be able to respond on any given day.
So it's so important. Jacob, tell us a little bit about what do they do on a daily basis?
Well, I think that's the great thing about their team, you know, is every day is different. You know, certainly we're in hurricane season this time of year, so they're always on response. And I know Chris will share some specific examples, but it's nothing like having a hurricane and having a generator go out and prepare for an air show all at the same time. And so being able to mobilize teams, volunteers, state resources, local government emergency management resources, all of that comes together to achieve the mission of the objective.
And you mentioned the word mission, and I'm always cognizant that it's important we remind ourselves, what are we doing here in Eastern North Carolina? We're improving the health and well-being of a very large region that depends on us, and we are the safety net organization for the well-being of the community. This is one part of those, and sometimes it's not a heart attack. Sometimes it is truly a hurricane or a natural disaster that can happen. No one's going to come in and do this but us when we need those resources. So, Chris, you make sure that the team is ready on a daily basis behind the scenes and that we can respond when needed. Can you talk a little bit about what that's like and why do you enjoy that work?
I enjoy the variety, being able to get out into the region, the challenge of planning for our most dire incidents, and most importantly, the people that we work with on a daily basis. You know, our day could be anything from county stakeholder meetings, regional response plans, providing education, conducting exercises, deploying equipment, and supporting and coordinating any type of disaster activity in the region.
Yeah, I've used the word team a few times. And when we talk about the team that's responsible in our disaster preparedness, it is large, and it's not just us here at ECU Health. It's other stakeholders as well. Talk about who's part of the team when you think of disaster preparedness.
We work with organization that touches healthcare or intersects with healthcare. That could be the hospitals in our region, EMS, public health, emergency management, long-term licensed care, community health, even dialysis centers.
Government agencies as well. So in doing that, collaboration is key. It's got to be a main part of what you do. So who does that include, and how do you make collaboration happen in an emergency situation?
As I mentioned, we offer lots of education throughout the region. We conduct stakeholder meetings in relation to our grant activity. We oversee and help develop regional response plans to look at the medical surge or traumatic surge from disasters associated with such. So we're always out in the region trying to intersect and make sure that we have those touch points prior to the disaster.
So what are some specific examples of your team in action?
We've provided medical coverage at Cherry Point and Seymour Johnson air shows. We have deployed to Ocracoke during post-Hurricane Dorian and staffed their medical shelter while they were recovering from that hurricane. We've coordinated rotary assets during hurricanes. We've deployed refrigerated trailers to support morgue failures. We have deployed communications assets when, for example, a hospital lost all its communications during Hurricane Florence. Conducted exercises on Ebola mass casualty hurricanes. We've conducted exercises on Ebola mass casualties hurricanes and other population-based healthcare surges. We've deployed equipment such as PPE, ventilators, HVACs, generators.
In other words, you're anticipating things that can go wrong that are not part of what we're doing every day, and you work with other agencies to make sure that we have a coordinated response to those things. Give us some examples, again, of things where you have forward planned for what if this happens. What are some examples of those things?
One example of our regional plan is a mass casualty incident. There was a military vehicle that turned over, and the hospital was notified that there was a large number of fatalities, a large number of incidents. The plan that we had worked with the operations center on actually assessed the hospitals in the region to make sure they could handle those surges of patients and fatalities if needed and get that information back to the scene to help move those patients to the appropriate facilities.
Regardless of what the mission might be that Chris and his team are planning for or respond to, if it's an unplanned event, the way that they're successful is truly through the coalition and constantly and consistently working with a variety of stakeholders from all of the organizations that Chris referenced. Again, EMS, hospitals, long-term care facilities, and the like. The hospitals across the East do a pretty good job of staying connected and supporting each other. Other areas struggle in that regard, and so Chris's team tends to be that center point that everyone in the healthcare space can go to and then get connected to another party within the healthcare space of the East.
And Chris mentioned mass casualty as an example, and I'll have from time to time people will ask me, well, what would happen at a football game if there was a mass event or something like that? And there is the potential, whether it's a hurricane or a bad event that could happen, an airplane disaster or any of those things. What I'm hearing you say is you work with these stakeholders to map out a plan of what we will do if this bad thing happens, and it's bigger than just can happen in a normal event like going to the emergency room or something like that. You have a forward plan. Do you drill those plans, and do you bring people together to say across all these different agencies, here's how this is going to work in the event X happens? And can you talk about that?
Absolutely. One of the fears that I have is a large category hurricane hitting the coast of eastern North Carolina. So annually, we have conducted an exercise series called 120 to Landfall, where we bring the hospitals, EMS, public health, and other stakeholders together and look at how we're going to identify the patients that need to be moved and how are we going to transport those patients and then where are they actually going to go if there is an event like that.
And so are there ways that you have a call rotation set up so that obviously people that would respond in a circumstance like this may already be working or they may be off? How does that work that you could bring together 100 people if you needed to respond in this event?
Well, if the event occurs in our region, we would lean on the available personnel through our online platform notification systems. And if it was large enough, we would reach out to our partner coalitions throughout the state to get additional personnel to respond to our region.
So as part of that preparation, you have a system already developed that people are signed up into so that you can mass communicate to them and specifically them so they know what to do to help you respond.
Yes, we utilize a platform that will actually verify their credentials and keep their contact information up to date so that we can reach out to them in a time of need.
So, Jacob, why is this important for our organization when you consider our mission, what we have here in eastern North Carolina, and obviously the fact that we are the quaternary tertiary hub of care? Why is this part of this work so important?
Yeah, and that is the question. Why is this work so important, right? And so the federal government is what actually authorizes this program, and it funnels through the state in terms of how the various coalitions are allocated. And the Eastern Healthcare Preparedness Coalition is one of eight that are scattered across the state. The reason that the Eastern Coalition is so important to ECU Health is those are the two connecting bodies to everything related to healthcare. if we didn't have defined, tested, proven response plans in place, we know the culture of our region. The various hospitals across the region are where people go. So if a hurricane hits, people go to the hospital. If the power in a long-term care facility goes out, the EMS would want to bring those patients to a hospital. So the connection point between the various hospitals, not just ECU Health, but all hospitals in the East and the coalition is key to define those plans on the front end. So again, like Chris said, if a Category 4 or 5 hurricane is coming, the hospitals have their own responsibility to take care for the patients that they have and then to be prepared for the post-storm impact. We need plans to also care for the other thousands of individuals that are in nursing homes, and that doesn't just fall to the hospitals. So working together, having those plans in place are key to the safety of everybody.
Yeah, it's easy to not think about this on a day-by-day basis, but what you're doing is anticipating what could happen that isn't happening today, and making sure we have a plan for that. And that should reassure everybody. But talk about what this work means to patients and our communities.
You know, connection. So knowing that the totality of the healthcare system, not just hospitals, but the entire healthcare system is connected and does work together to have these various plans in place. Yeah, there are unique responses. Like Chris mentioned, the team might reach out if a generator goes down or, you know, if somebody needs additional PPE. Those things are certainly available and easy to do. But if we're talking larger scale plans, those responses are bigger than any one agency. And so what people need to know is that we are connected with this response team from an ECU Health perspective, as well as from the coalition perspective to the broader healthcare infrastructure to ensure safety of everyone that lives in the region.
Yeah, I'll add go off script just a moment. When we were doing our COVID responses initially, most people didn't know this, but the PPE and the need to have facilities and products like respirators and additional supplies that go well above and beyond the daily work that we do and anticipate became really important very quickly. And it was this team's preparedness for other events like Ebola that actually produced and had stored away some equipment that we might need. And we were able to go through and inventory that and try to understand what extra do we have. Chris, can you talk about with COVID, what you learned in that scenario that you think will have an impact on the future?
I think one of the key points and takeaways from that event is not relying on the federal government to be there to bail us out. We waited weeks for PPE to come from the feds, from the Strategic National Stockpile. And unfortunately, we had a cache of PPE from H1N1 and had already begun ramping up supplies for Ebola that we could support ECU Health and the region before those supplies arrived.
Said differently, when COVID happened and the unanticipated surge of all of that, most of our people don't realize, but one of the reasons we had plenty of masks to go around and we had extra ventilators is your previous work of preparing for Ebola and other things had allowed you to stockpile some of those supplies so we would have them at the ready to use when the COVID surge happens. It goes to show how important it is that we all know that there are people thinking through what we may need in the event of a disaster or some unforeseen thing in Eastern North Carolina. It's so refreshing to know that we've got people who are thinking it through and preparing and building the stockpile and making sure we have those extra things that might come in need in the event of an event like that. Are there things we didn't talk about that you all want to mention this morning?
Brian, I would add, and maybe we slide this in somehow. Brian, I think it's important that we do mention COVID. So early on, when the state reached out to our organization, and frankly, we were one of the early organizations that they reached out to, the question was, can you set up some mass testing? And then eventually, can you set up some mass vaccination sites? We certainly pulled a team together from within ECU Health and others, but it was by partnering with our coalition team and by extension, the people that they had connections to that really pulled that off. Within a matter of hours, we had National Guard, emergency management, security from the community college, the university, the various municipalities. All of that effort and all of that collaboration came as a result of the Chris and the coalition team. And by having that coalition in place, again, on behalf of the state, because this is a state-funded program, and having those stockpiles and warehouses and all those sorts of things are the way that we are actually able to execute on what they need us to do.
And I'll tell you, thinking about what could have happened with COVID and what didn't happen because we were prepared and all the other many things that could happen, We all sleep better at night knowing that you guys are planning and preparing and creating a plan that brings people together to collaborate. What a great thing that's happening that most people will never see and hopefully we will never need. We're grateful that you guys are doing it. Thank you both for taking time to share the incredible work your teams are doing for our communities and helping us fulfill our mission. For those of you who are listening, who are you grateful for this week? Send us who you're grateful for and why you want to hear from them. Send it to wewanttohearfromyou@videnhealth.com. We'll be magnifying or listening and taking these lists together so that we can bring you that information every week. If you have a story that highlights a team or teams that are going above and beyond to care for patients or communities, visit the Medical Center intranet page and fill out the quick response form. You and your teams could be one of the next ones on our podcast. Submission links are also listed in the podcast summary in your app. Come back again next Friday to hear more about teams that are making a difference.